Certainly appreciate the presence of each and every one. I'd like to encourage everyone to take out a Bible and prepare to follow along with our study this morning titled, A Servant of Jesus Christ. I appreciate that good prayer that David led us in a few moments ago. Appreciate Max leading us in those very encouraging, uplifting hymns as we've raised our voice in praise to our Almighty God. Appreciate that good reading of the scripture that Alvin just gave for us there from Romans chapter 1. And did you notice how Paul, the Apostle Paul, described himself there in Romans chapter 1, verse 1? Did you notice that? He described himself as a bondservant, or simply put, as a servant of Jesus Christ. That's what I want to take some time to talk to you about this morning. I want to take some time to talk to you this morning about being a servant of Jesus Christ. And before we get in depth in our lesson this morning, it's important that we know that the word servant is a translation of the Greek word doulos, which literally means a slave or a bondservant, someone who sets aside all rights of his own to serve another. That's what Paul is saying when he's describing himself as a servant of Jesus Christ. He's simply describing himself as a slave of Jesus Christ, one who has laid aside all his rights to serve another. And thinking about that, I think it's important that we all realize the fact that as children of God, we too are slaves of Jesus Christ. We too are fellow servants of Jesus Christ. And it's important that we know who we are. And it's important to know who the Master is. And it's important to recognize the need to be one who serves our Master. And I want to begin this morning, as we begin our lesson talking about being a servant of Jesus Christ, of taking note of the fact that a servant of Jesus Christ has been bought with a price. When you think about how we have become a servant of Jesus Christ, we've become a servant of Jesus Christ because we've been bought by Him with a high price. Paul, speaking to fellow servants of Jesus Christ, he conveyed this idea there in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 20. And in the context there, he's talking about the need to glorify God in the body and the spirit. But notice Paul speaking to fellow servants of Christ. Notice what he said there. He said, "For you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Think about those words of the Apostle Paul for a moment. You see, again, Paul recognized as a servant of Christ that he had been bought by Christ. He's been bought with a price. He recognized that he was no longer his, that he no longer belonged to himself, but rather that he belonged to God. And brethren, you and I as children of God need to realize that. We need to realize that as children of God, as servants of Jesus Christ, we have been bought with a price. We no longer belong to ourselves, but rather we belong to God. And when you think about that, you think about times past. You think about times past when slaves were purchased, and they were purchased with a price. Usually they went to the highest bidder. And once those slaves were purchased with a price, they became that slave master's slave, usually till death. And again, that's the idea that Paul is conveying here in 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 20. He's conveying the idea just as in times past, in ancient times, even in Paul's day, when those slaves, those bondservants would have been purchased with a price. That they were bought. And because they were being bought, they were owned by somebody else. And because they were owned by somebody else, that they were under the obligation to serve that one who owned them. That's exactly what Paul is telling us as servants of Jesus Christ. We've been bought. We've been bought with a high price. We've been bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. We learn about that in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. We haven't been redeemed with gold, silver or gold or corruptible things like that. But we've been redeemed. We've been bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And it is because of that that we need to understand that we have been bought. And we've been bought with a price. And it's because of that, we no longer belong to ourselves. But we belong to the Lord. He has bought us with His precious blood. And we need to understand, as servants of Christ, the need to, just as Paul recognized the fact that, as he wrote there in 1 Corinthians 6:20, that we've been bought with a price, that we too have been bought with a price. But I also suggest to us this morning that a servant of Jesus Christ will deny self. They will choose to follow Him and they will desire to live for Christ. That's important. You see, there is no self-importance in true servitude. Did you know that? There is no, and I repeat, there is no self-importance in true servitude. And a true servant of Jesus Christ will recognize that. They will be one who will deny self and follow Jesus. I want us to notice these words of Jesus there in Luke chapter 9 and verse 23. Open up your Bibles there for a moment. And there in Luke chapter 9 and verse 23, notice these words of Jesus. He said, if anyone desires to come after me, let him do what, Jesus? Let him deny himself, there it is, and take up his cross daily and follow me. You see, Jesus recognized the need for one to be focused upon Him and only Him if they chose to follow Him. And that's why He said, if anyone chooses to or desires to come after me, what's that first thing you must do? Deny self. You must put away your selfish ambitions and desires. You must recognize that if you're going to be a servant of Jesus Christ, a follower of Jesus Christ, that there is no self-importance in true servitude. But that's not all He says. You see, He goes on to say, and take up His cross and daily and follow me. You see, that's another thing that's involved in being a true servant of Jesus Christ. Not only are you going to deny yourself, put away your selfish ambitions and desires, but you're also going to be one who is always going to be ready and willing to suffer for the cause of Christ. You're always going to be ready. You're going to be willing to suffer no matter what may come along your way, whatever persecution, trial that may come along your way. You're going to be ready and willing to suffer for the cause of Christ. And you're going to faithfully choose to follow Him. You see, a true servant of Jesus Christ, simply put, they're going to desire to live for Jesus Christ. That's exactly the attitude that the Apostle Paul had, isn't it? Think about Paul again, going back there to Romans 1 verse 1. He described himself how? As a servant of Jesus Christ. Now I want you to notice Paul's attitude as being a servant of Jesus Christ there in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Turn over there with me in your Bibles, Galatians 2 and verse 20. Notice Paul's attitude as a servant of Christ here. Notice these words of Paul with me. Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. Now watch it. Who loved me and gave himself for me. Again, Paul understood that he had been bought with a price. He understood that Christ loved him. He made it personal. He made it personal here when he says that he now lives into faith in the Son of God who loved me, Paul says, and died for me. You see how he did that? He made it personal. The fact that when he was bought with that precious blood of Christ, the fact that when Christ died, the fact that he died for him. Brethren, you and I need to make that personal just as the Apostle Paul did. We need to understand that as servants of Jesus Christ, He died for you. He died for you. He died for you. He died for me. He died for us. He loved you. He loved you. He loved you. He loved me. And it is because of that He died for us. He gave Himself for us. And when we make that personal, guess what that's going to do? It's going to make it easier for us to live for our Master. It's going to make it easier for us to live for the One who died for us. And a true servant of Jesus Christ, that's exactly what they do. They don't live for self, but rather they live for Christ. You think about all the trials and the sufferings that the Apostle Paul went throughout his life. We've been talking about them a lot lately as we've been going through the book of Acts in our adult Bible study. And you think about all those various trials and sufferings that Paul endured as a servant of Jesus Christ. Have you ever wondered what it was that motivated Paul to keep on keeping on? Have you ever wondered what it was that allowed Paul to endure and to persevere through those trials? Well, you want to know something? I think we can find our answer here in Galatians 2 and verse 20. Simply put, Paul was able to do that because Paul did not make those trials and sufferings about himself. You see, simply put, Paul didn't make life and serving Jesus about Paul. He made it about Christ. His focus wasn't on Paul, but rather it was on Christ. And brethren, that's where our focus needs to be this very day. When we endure trials and sufferings and the temptations of this life, we need to be reminded of the need that, hey, we need to deny self. It's not about us, but it's about Christ. And staying committed to the cause of Christ, serving our Master. That's exactly what Paul did. And he did it faithfully, didn't he? Because he had that single-mindedness, that focus upon heaven and serving the Master, Jesus Christ. And that's why Paul said there in Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Paul understood that serving the Master faithfully was going to lead to a reward. And that even if he lost his life through all that suffering that came his way, through all that persecution, even if it cost him his head, he understood that for him to die from this physical life would be gain. But he also understood that if he continued to live, he was going to live for who? For Paul? No. For Christ. To live is Christ. And Christ was going to get that glory through him. But I also suggest to us this morning the fact that a servant of Jesus Christ knows who the King of Kings is, and they have complete confidence in him. Again, a true servant of Jesus Christ knows Christ is King. That's important. And as servants of Jesus Christ, we need to know who the King is. Christ is King. And knowing that Christ is King, we need to be a people who love and serve the One who bought our freedom from sin. Again, Paul, he knew who the King was, didn't he? Paul knew that Christ was King. And Paul willingly loved and served him who bought his freedom from sin. To emphasize this, I want to take us there to 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. And there in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, notice these words of the inspired Apostle Paul, beginning there in verse number 15. Paul said, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance." Stop there for a moment. Simply put, what Paul is saying, these things that I'm about to tell you are true. they're true, and you need to take heed to them and adhere to them. Because he goes on to say that Christ Jesus came into the world to what? To save sinners, of whom I am chief. Paul thought of himself as being the chief of sinners. He thought of himself as being the worst sinner on earth. And that's what he says. He says, Christ came into the world to save sinners, of which I'm number one. But he goes on to say in verse 16, however, for this reason I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show all longsuffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life. Now, Paul says in verse 17, to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, to God who alone is wise, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. You think Paul was thankful for Christ? You think Paul was thankful for Christ? I agree with you, Steve. Without a doubt, he was thankful for Christ. He was thankful for his King. And we see this here in the fact that, again, Paul wanted everybody to know that, hey, Jesus Christ came into this world. For what reason, Paul? To save sinners. He came to seek and to save the lost. And Paul alluded to himself as being the worst of the worst. And Paul lets it be known there that, hey, if he'll save me, who is the chief of sinners, he'll certainly save anyone else who believes on him. That's encouraging, isn't it? That's encouraging. But Paul goes on to encourage Timothy in regard of the fact to know the King of Kings and to fight the good fight of faith and to have confidence in him there in 1 Timothy chapter 6. Turn over there with me to 1 Timothy chapter 6. And notice Paul's encouragement to Timothy and his instruction to Timothy here, beginning in verse number 11. Paul says to Timothy, but you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. He says in verse 12, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed a good confession in the presence of many witnesses. You see, he goes on to talk about the need there, dropping down there to verse 14, the need to keep this commandment without spot, blameless, until our Lord Jesus Christ appearing. He says in verse 15, which he will manifest in his own time, he who is the blessed and only Pontinent, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Again, Paul is encouraging Timothy to fight the good fight of faith and to lay hold on eternal life. He's reminding him of the good confession that he made and the need to continue to be committed to that. The need to be committed to the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. And a true servant of Jesus Christ, they're going to do that. They're going to fight the good fight of faith, and they're going to lay hold on eternal life. They're going to remain committed to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And they're going to have complete confidence in Him. Notice as Paul wrote his second epistle to Timothy there in 2 Timothy chapter 1. Notice Paul's exhortation to Timothy here beginning in verse number 8. He said, therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began, but has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, to which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. Paul says in verse 12, for this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day. Think about that. Let those words of the Apostle Paul sink in for a moment. You see, Paul's instruction to Timothy was, don't be ashamed of the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Don't be ashamed of Jesus Christ. Just as I'm not ashamed of Jesus Christ, Paul tells Timothy, don't be ashamed. And he encourages Paul to endure the sufferings as he has endured the sufferings. Why? Notice, what was that reason? What enabled Paul to endure those sufferings? Verse 12, Paul says, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day. Complete trust and confidence in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is what enabled Paul to endure those sufferings. And my beloved brethren, we too need to be a people as a servant of Jesus Christ who have complete trust and confidence in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You see, that's important. Because such confidence and trust in our Master Jesus Christ, guess what? It's going to give us the courage and the strength to endure troublesome times. Just as it gave the Apostle Paul the courage and the strength to endure troublesome times. And we need to be mindful of the fact that a servant of Jesus Christ knows who the King of Kings is. They know Christ is King, and they have complete confidence in Him. But I also suggest to us this morning, in regard to a servant of Jesus Christ, and that is the fact that a servant of Jesus Christ will always do what he says to do, knowing that he, that is Jesus Christ, is the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. You see, when you think about a slave master who owned slaves, and you think about in times past when there would have been many slave masters who would have owned slaves, Paul even makes mention of them in some of his epistles, some of them slave owners who, and some of those masters who owned slaves on how that they should conduct themselves, right? And even likewise to slaves on how they should conduct themselves and how they should be obedient to their masters. And just as their masters would have gave them certain instructions and how they would have expected them to be obedient to those instructions, you and I as servants of Jesus Christ have been given instructions from our Master. Our Master Jesus Christ has given us instructions pertaining to how we as His servants are to serve Him. Did you know that? You need to know that. As a servant of Jesus Christ, it's important that you know that. And it's important that we are a people who are obedient to those instructions that He has given to us. Because here's the thing, Jesus expects those who profess His name to know the instructions that He has given them in order to faithfully serve Him. He expects those who profess His name simply to be obedient to Him. He expects those who profess His name to do what He says. This can be seen there in Luke chapter 6 and verse 46 and Jesus' question there. Remember what Jesus asked there in Luke 6, 46? He said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say? Think about that. Jesus is asking, why do you profess to call me Lord? Why do you call me Lord, but yet you don't do what I say? And we need to be mindful of the fact that as a servant of Jesus Christ, we must not only know His instructions on how to serve Him, but we must be obedient to Him. We must take heed to Him. We must do what He says to do. We learn there in John chapter 14, verse 15. Remember what Jesus said there? He said, if ye love me, do what? Keep my commandments. I want you to think about those words of Jesus for a moment. You see, simply put, Jesus is saying, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Have you ever thought about that? Because that's exactly what Jesus is saying. He's saying that if you love me, you're going to keep my commandments. Obedience is necessary if we profess to love the Master. We're going to have to do what He says. And a true servant of Jesus Christ, they will seek to be obedient to Christ and His will in all things. They won't just pick and choose how they want to be obedient to Christ. They won't just pick and choose those things that they want to do or things that they may think are easy for them to do. But they're going to be obedient to Him in all things and all that He says. And they're going to do that knowing that their primary desire every day as a servant of Christ is to honor, obey, and to glorify the Master. That should be the desire of each and every one of us as a servant of Jesus Christ. Our desire each and every day as a servant of Jesus Christ, our primary desire should be to honor, obey, and glorify our Master, Jesus Christ. And we need to do that, remembering that He is the author of eternal salvation to all who obey Him. We learn about that in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 9, don't we? And I want you to think about something. There's a key word there. It's a small word, but it's an important word. It's a key word. That little word, all. That little word, all. We learn there that Jesus Christ is the author of eternal salvation, not just to some, but rather to all who obey Him. And a faithful servant of Jesus Christ will do just that, knowing that He is the author of eternal salvation to those who obey Him. But I also suggest to us this morning, in relation to a servant of Jesus Christ, and that is, a servant of Jesus Christ will always seek to be faithful to the Master, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You see, true servants of Jesus Christ considered a lot their lives upon this earth as a time of preparation for eternity. True servants of Jesus Christ recognize that their physical life is brief. They recognize that Jesus Christ Himself could return at any time. And knowing that, they always strive to be ready and to be found faithful by their Master, Jesus Christ. To emphasize this point, I want to take us there to Matthew chapter 25. Follow me, if you will, in your Bibles there to Matthew 25. And I want you to begin reading here with me here in Matthew 25. Matthew 24, rather. Matthew 24, and in verse number 45. There in Matthew 24 and verse 45, notice these words of Jesus. He said, "Who then is a faithful and wise servant?" That's a good question, isn't it? Who is a faithful and wise servant? As servants of Jesus Christ, we should look for the answer to that question. And we find it here. Because He goes on to say, "Whom His Master made ruler over His household to give them food in due season. Blessed is that servant whom His Master, when He comes, will find so doing. Assuredly, I say to you that He will make him ruler over all His goods. But if that evil servant says in his heart, 'My Master is delaying His coming,' and begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunkards, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him and at an hour that he is not aware of, and will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." There it is. You see, a faithful and wise servant is always going to be ready. They're always going to be ready for the Master's return. And we need to be mindful of that as servants of Jesus Christ. We need to be mindful of the fact to always be ready and to be found faithful by our Master, Jesus Christ. And brethren, I recognize, I understand that there are going to be hardships and struggles in this life. I understand that there's going to be times that it's not going to be easy to keep on keeping on. But I want to remind us of the fact that the hardships and the struggles that we're going to face in this life, in the flesh, upon this earth, they're going to be far outmatched by the reward that is awaiting us someday in heaven if we are found faithful by our Master Jesus Christ. To put this in perspective, I want to take us there to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Follow me, if you will, in your Bibles there for a moment to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And listen to these words of the inspired Apostle Paul, beginning here in verse number 16. There Paul writes, "Therefore we do not lose heart." And by the way, these are the words of the Apostle Paul, who, as we read earlier in Romans chapter 1 and verse 1, described himself as a servant of Jesus Christ. And what's he saying? That we as servants of Jesus Christ do not what? We do not lose heart. He says, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. He says in verse 17, for our light affliction, how long is that going to last, Paul? Which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Hold on to those words of the inspired apostle. Remember that, brethren, when the struggles of this life come upon you, and you think about giving up, you think about bailing out of service to the Master, I want you to remember that the things that are upon us, our light affliction, they're just but for a moment. They're not going to last that long. But again, as we see, that eternal weight of glory is going to be far outmatched by any trial or suffering that we could ever face upon this earth. Use that as motivation. Use it as motivation to keep on keeping on. Use it as motivation to be found faithful by the Master, Jesus Christ. And just as a servant who loves his master lives for his master's approval, so servants of Jesus Christ shall live for the moment when he will say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Those are words we all, as servants of Jesus Christ, someday want to hear. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter in. My fellow servants of Christ, I encourage each and every one of us to never forget that you and I have been bought with a price. Never forget that you and I have been bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And never forget that we have made the decision to follow Jesus. And because we have decided to follow Jesus, we must always seek to do His will. And we must faithfully serve Him unto death. For as Jesus promised in the latter part of Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. So in conclusion, I ask the question, what about you? Are you committed to being a servant of Jesus Christ? Think about that. How you doing with that? Are you totally committed to being a servant of Jesus Christ? If not, why not? For as we have talked about this day, faithful servants of Jesus Christ will someday inherit a reward that will be far beyond anything that any of us can even begin to comprehend. It's going to be worth it, isn't it? It's going to be worth it. Maybe there's one here this morning who has not yet submitted themselves in obedience to the Lord and His will. You have an opportunity to do that this very hour. You too can become a servant of Jesus Christ. Remembering, as we talked about already this morning, He died for you. And it is because of that that you too can be washed in the blood of Jesus. You can become a servant of Jesus Christ this very hour. For if you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the one true living God, you can make a change in your life. You can repent of your sins. You can confess Jesus Christ, and you can be baptized into Christ this very hour for the remission of your sins. And you too can have that hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. Titus chapter 1, verse 2. And may we all always remember that the buck doesn't stop at baptism, but rather we need to continue to keep on keeping on. We need to remember to be faithful unto death. For as Jesus promised in the latter part of Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Maybe there's one here this morning who's already submitted themselves in obedience to the Lord and His will, but maybe you haven't been faithful. Maybe you've given up. Maybe you've strayed from that straight and narrow path that leads to life. You're encouraged to repent and to confess your sins to God and ask Him for His forgiveness and to get back on that straight and narrow path that leads to life this very hour, when you still have that opportunity to do so. Remembering, as we talked about earlier, it's certainly going to be worth it to faithfully serve our Master, Jesus Christ. So if there would be one here this morning who'd be subject to the Lord's gracious invitation, whatever your name may be, won't you let that need be made known now while making your way toward the front while standing, sing the song, Max is Slick.